We're going to pause for prayer before we get into the message tonight. It's from our study, Faith Like the Fathers. We're in the life of Joseph. And if you go ahead and put the title on before we pray. Tonight we're going to talk about faith in the feel-forgotten place. Faith in the feel-forgotten place. Let's bow our hearts. Father, I pray in Jesus' name to administer through the word tonight, God. You know our hearts. Lord, you're at work. We are your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. We desire, Father God, to hear your voice and to leave with our faith strengthened and empowered. God, help me to speak and to teach tonight in Jesus' name. And God's people said amen. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm recognizing visitors from this platform or I'm thanking people that have been involved in a work project, or if I'm just shaking hands, my fear is always that I'm going to forget somebody. And why am I so concerned about that? Well, it's simply, it's because I know personally what an awful feeling it is to be forgotten, to be overlooked, to be passed over. But you know, there's something worse than the feeling of being forgotten by people. Does anyone know what that is? Worse than feeling forgotten by people is to feel forgotten by God. We may not boldly lift a hand and say, that's me. But the truth of the matter is, we get to a place many times we feel like we've been forgotten by God. This is in the story of Joseph tonight. God doesn't forget us, but we feel that way. You know, it's been 2 weeks because of glow in the dark, but we had, you know, Joseph's temptation last time we were in this together. But Joseph had been sold as a slave to one of Pharaoh's officials, one of his main military men, Potiphar. And in Potiphar's house, Joseph had quickly risen to the place of chief manager, chief steward. Potiphar's wife noticed this young Joseph, and she began to make inappropriate, brazen advances on him. But Joseph, he resisted, he rebuffed, he ran from her temptation. And so she invented a story to tell her husband when he got home. She invented a story that Joseph had sexually assaulted her. And so Potiphar threw Joseph into prison. Joseph had done nothing wrong. He had done everything right. I didn't point out when I told that part of the story, but did you realize this is the second time Joseph has been thrown into a pit? His brothers grabbed him, threw him in a pit, and now Potiphar puts him in the pit of a dungeon. You know what? Joseph could have easily concluded that he had been forgotten and forsaken by God. He could have easily concluded that. But in Genesis 39:21, right after Joseph was thrown into prison, the scripture makes this note, but the Lord was with Joseph. Now, those two things don't seem to go together. Thrown into prison, wrongfully accused, and then to hear, but the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph wasn't feeling that way. To Joseph, it felt like he was forgotten. And so we learn from Joseph that for each of us, there is a feel-forgotten place. Now, here's what we're going to minister tonight through the teaching is, we're going to realize that God is at work in your feel-forgotten place. We're going to see that in Joseph's life, and we're going to see that it's true for each of us. God is at work in the feel-forgotten place. Let me read just a few scriptures from our story tonight. If you'll remember, once in prison, two of the Pharaoh's officials had been cast into prison, very important men, and they had dreams. Verse 12, and Joseph said unto him, this is to the butler, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, and yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Here's what Joseph says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee and show kindness, and I will pray thee unto me and make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. Verse 23, here it is. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. the feel forgotten place. Tonight I'm going to tell the tale, and give some truths as we go. You see, Pilate had thrown Joseph into prison, and Joseph had to have had the thought, is this what I get for doing right? I resisted temptation. I stayed faithful to the Lord. Is this what I get for doing right? I shouldn't be here, Joseph's thinking. I shouldn't be in this mess. I served God. I think I said something wrong, but it was Potiphar that threw Joseph in the prison. How did I end up here doing what was right? You know, there's no place. I've never been in prison. I might should confess that. But I suppose there's no place where you'd feel more forgotten than in a prison. Think about it. But not every prison is made of metal bars and stone walls. There's lots of prisons people live in the everyday course of their lives. Some are prisons of their own making. Some are prisons of things that happen to them. You see, there's a lot of circumstances where we can feel trapped as if in a prison. The thing that all of those different kinds of prisons have in common is you're going to feel alone. You see, Joseph couldn't see that this horrible thing of being sent to prison, even though he's innocent, this horrible thing of being sent there was a part of God's plan. If you had told him that, he would have said, really? But it's afterwards we can see it was. And we can see even there that God was at work. And so the first truth I want to present to us tonight is there's always enough wrong that happens to us to make us feel forgotten. If you look in your life, you'll find enough wrong to make you feel like you've been forgotten of God. Maybe not a prison, but how about betrayal? Folks are betrayed. Some folks feel alone at school. Some feel alone at work. Some feel alone in their own home. Some are estranged from their family. Not everybody gets invited to the party. Some are sick. That's a prison. Some are shut in ill health. Some have the stigmatism of a sin associated with them from their past. Some are accused of a sin. Some have financial prisons so restrained by their finances that their life is a life of prison. You see, we often find ourselves in a place where God seems to be nowhere around, and we conclude that because of the wrong that's happening to us, as Joseph did. But the wonderful thing about Joseph is finding himself in this place, he kept a good attitude. His demeanor, his behavior, his work ethic was such that it caught the warden's attention. You couldn't have been in a worse place. But Joseph had such a great attitude that he was promoted by the prison warden, who made him first a trustee and then made him chief trustee. And Joseph was so trustworthy that the warden didn't have to take any care of anything in the prison himself. He left it all to Joseph. Have you heard that before? You see, Joseph is thrown into the pit twice. And in both times, his response was to have such integrity and character that where he found himself, first in Potiphar's house and now in the prison, in both places, he immediately rose to the highest place of authority in the highest position of control. Why? Because his attitude. Now, there's no way we can conclude that this was just because Joseph was a good fella. Because God was at work. God gave Joseph favor with Potiphar. God gave Joseph favor with the warden. And yet everything Joseph did prospered. Yet I have found that God can favor those that'll have integrity. God can prosper those that'll have character and have the right attitude. And this leads us to a second truth tonight. The point is to make the best of and do our best in the forgotten place. Joseph's in a place he feels forgotten, so what does he do? Does he get bitter? Does he just quit on God? No, when he finds himself in that place, he makes the best of it, and he does his best in the forgotten place. You see, although it seemed that Joseph was forgotten, as he continued to do right, act right, have the right attitude, as he refused to become bitter at his predicament, refused to let bitterness rule his life, he began to catch the attention of the warden. You see, in the forgotten place, we feel like not trying. We feel like giving up. We feel like letting go. But keep your integrity. Keep doing right. As Joseph, keep serving God. You see, some people would tell us that it's just a coincidence that when we pray, things seem to happen. William Temple said years ago, he said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, coincidences don't happen. Coincidences don't happen. It's the same way with character. You say, you can't attribute everything that Joseph prospered into his character. No. But it's interesting that when he had the right attitude, God was able to prosper him. When he kept his integrity, God was able to advance him. And so it's at this point in the story we begin to see that the very purpose why God sent Joseph to prison. Now you can't, in our human thinking, we say, this doesn't make any sense. Why would God send Joseph to prison? We're going to see that. You know, if you remember from the story of Joseph's temptation, I said there's indication that Potiphar didn't really believe his wife. Did you know at the time, especially for an official of the Egyptian Empire, the penalty for someone trying to rape Potiphar's wife would have been immediate death. So first of all, Potiphar didn't kill Joseph. Second of all, Potiphar didn't put Joseph in those horrible, usual prisons of Egypt. He put Joseph, the Bible is very clear about this, Potiphar put Joseph in the king's prison, where the king put his special prisoners, white-collar prisoners. This is so important because this was part of God's plan. We're going to see this. And so this Pharaoh here, he had these very important officials. Two of them was a butler. Don't think of the English butler, you know, standing at the door. It's not that kind of butler. And he had a baker. Who was this butler? He was a food taster. Does anyone else remember a famous butler in the Bible? Who was that? Nehemiah. You can see from Nehemiah's story that he had a very favored position with the emperor of his time. Why was a butler so important? Because he was the food taster. That doesn't mean he was a connoisseur and just trying to find out what was the best tasting stuff. It was people tried to poison kings back then. And the butler was the one that when food or drink was brought in, he tasted the food, he drank the drink to see if there's any poison in it. Now, if there wasn't any poison, that's good. But if there is poison, that's not a very exciting position to hold. You're dead, but the king lives forever, right? And then the baker, he's not just a baker that makes donuts every morning. The baker was the chief chef. Now, we're talking about for an emperor of an empire. No telling how many he had under him. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what happened, but Pharaoh got angry at his butler and his baker. I can't imagine what it would be, so I'll make up something. Maybe the baker made a special dish, but he didn't mix it well. And so there's these clumps of these awful tasting ingredients in it. He brings it to the butler, and the butler takes a bite, but just happens to bite where there's none of these distasteful ingredients. And he nods to the king, to Pharaoh. He said, boy, this is really good. And so Pharaoh takes it, and he takes a big bite and gets one of those bitter clumps of distasteful ingredients. I don't know what happened. But something happened that involved both the baker and the butler. And so Pharaoh, he threw a tantrum and he said, put them in prison. And he threw them in prison. Now, where's he going to put, if this is a king, and these are important men of his kingdom, where's he going to put these important officials, butler and baker? He's going to put them in the king's prison. And who's in the king's prison? Joseph's in the king's prison. And so when they got to prison, these are such important figures that the warden wanted to give them special treatment. He wanted to give them their own personal, what would you call a personal servant. So who did the warden choose? He chose Joseph. Now here's the next truth tonight. We must know and believe that God is at work even in that forgotten place. Let's see how God was at work. Now, we know the end of the story. We have that advantage. We know how God used this to place Joseph in a great position of power. See, that's been God's plan all along. A great famine is coming. It's going to threaten the promised land where Joseph's family lives. Instead of dying by that family, God's going to put somebody way down in Egypt to save Joseph's family during the famine. That's been the plan all along. But how do you get Joseph to Egypt? And how do you get Joseph in a place of power where he can have the authority to save his family? How do you do it? Well, we don't understand God's ways. How many just wants to shake your head and say, God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways? So how's he going to get Joseph to Egypt? He's going to have him sold as a slave, auctioned as a slave. That's how God got Joseph to Egypt. How is God going to get Joseph to a place of authority in Pharaoh's house, in Pharaoh's government? He's going to throw Joseph in prison. I'm talking about the way God did things. Now you say, couldn't have God had an easier way to get Joseph to Egypt than have him sold as a slave? Yeah, he could have. Couldn't God have come up with an easier way to get Joseph into a place of power in Egypt, the Egyptian government, without having thrown in prison? Yes, he could. But this indicates something else to us. Not only does God need to get Joseph to Egypt and get Joseph into a position of authority, he's got to get Joseph ready for that position. And by being sold as a slave, spending time in prison, God was forming Joseph for the position he had. You know, we get carried away that Jesus went away and prepared a place for us. And I'm glad for that. How many's glad he went to prepare a place for us? But there's something else at work here. He's preparing us for the place. God had a place for Joseph, but now he's preparing Joseph for that place. And so we got to see how God is at work. So God had these two high-ranking staff members of Pharaoh's house thrown into prison so they could meet Joseph. That's the whole point. Now, how many knows timing is everything? You see, to Joseph, this time in prison is meaningless and is stretching on and on. But timing is everything. The butler and the baker were only a short time in prison. If they had been thrown in prison just a little bit before that, Joseph wouldn't have been there. Or after that, they happened to be thrown into prison, or Joseph happened to be put in prison at the right time that he would meet this butler and this baker. How many knows God was behind that timing? We fret on the timing, but God, he controls the time. God wanted Joseph to meet those fellows in prison. Could I tell you, sometimes in our very bad place, our forgotten place, we need to look at it this way. There's some folks in our bad place that God wants us to meet, right? Might be on the side of the road when you have a flat tire. There's somebody in that bad place that God wants you to meet. It might be when you have to visit the hospital. There might be somebody in that bad place God wants you to meet. That was true with Joseph. I'm not making these things up. You know one reason Joseph could help them? One reason Joseph could help the butler and baker is because he had already spent time in prison. And you see, that's the way we need to look at our forgotten place. We're able to help folks if we look around and meet them there because we've been in that place. That's how we can help them. So one night, the butler and the baker each had a very troubling dream. Of course, those dreams came from God. And they had no idea what their dreams meant. Joseph came in to serve them that next morning as he customarily did, and he noticed they looked very melancholy and depressed, and so he asked them. He said, "Hey guys, why the sad face this morning?" And they answered, "Well, we've had these dreams. They've been really different dreams, and we can't figure out the interpretation for them." God had put Joseph in connection with these men because now they're going to be indebted to Joseph for interpreting their dreams. God gave him the dreams. And now they're going to share them to Joseph. And what a coincidence. Because here's Joseph is a man who knows something about dreams. Anybody remember that? Joseph knows something. See, God's bringing it all together. God gave the men dreams to be interpreted. But it's Joseph with the character he had, the attitude that he had, that noticed they were troubled by their dreams. Remember, I said God brings us to a forgotten place, and we should look for people God wants us to meet in that forgotten place. Joseph could have been so enmeshed in his own misery and his own disappointment that he paid no attention to the suffering of others. But Joseph had such a character that he noticed how upset the butler and the baker are. And I'm not going to take time tonight, but I want you to know Joseph is a tremendous picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how many knows, even when Jesus was suffering on the cross, he noticed people suffering right there. And so this leads us to another truth. We must look for others in distress in our forgotten place. Even there, there's someone God wants to use us to minister to. Why is that? Because it's in helping others that we'll find help for ourselves. See, the end of the story is this. By Joseph helping the butler, in the end, Joseph helped himself. How many knows that God knows that in our misery, if we'll find somebody to help, it'll help us? And that's what's happening in this story. So, Joseph sees they're all depressed, and he says, wait. Why are you guys so upset? Don't you know that interpretations of dreams belong to God? So you fellas, tell me your dreams. Well, the butler, he was the first to respond, and he cleared his throat, and he began to recount his dream to Joseph. He said, in my dream, all of a sudden, I saw myself facing this vine. And as I watched, this vine grew out three branches. And as I looked on the branches, I saw them begin to bud. And then I watched as the buds turned into blossoms, and then the blossoms turned into grapes. And I watched as these great clusters of grapes were formed. And then I took the clusters of grapes, and I noticed that I was holding Pharaoh's cup. And so I squeezed the cluster of grapes into the cup. And then I saw myself handing the cup to Pharaoh. And he stopped talking. I feel like Joseph immediately felt God began to speak to him the interpretation. And suddenly the interpretation of the dream was in Joseph's mind. And he said, Mr. Butler, the three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will bring you up out of prison and reinstall you into your position as butler. And you will assume your role of handing the cup that you have tasted to Pharaoh. See, Joseph knows this is God giving him the interpretation. He's not making it up. Could I tell you, it's in ministering to others that we very well could hear God speaking to us in the forgotten place. We feel forgotten. We see someone else in misery. We begin to minister to them. That's when Joseph had God speak to him. Right? Well, thinking that the butler is very soon going to be set free, we see Joseph for once show a little bit of concern about his own predicament. After such a long time, he's still in prison. So he says to the butler, he makes a plea. He says, when you get back in your position, safe and secure, please remember how I kindly interpret your dream and mention me to Pharaoh and ask him to bring me out of this dungeon. He said, see, Mr. Butler, I was kidnapped as a child in Canaan. I was sold as a slave, and I've been falsely accused and thrown into this prison. So, Mr. Butler, when you get out, and you will because God said you would, remember me. You can't fault Joseph for seeing a way out. Now, here's the thing. He was right about how he was going to get out of prison. He was just wrong about the timing, as we're going to see. But, you know, I think it helped Joseph to share. Sometimes we're in the forgotten place. It helps us to share with somebody. Joseph wasn't complaining. He was just wanting a way out. Well, the baker, boy, he hears a favorable interpretation, and he's encouraged and he's emboldened by that interpretation of the butler's dream. And so he says, Mr. Joseph, what about my dream? Interpret my dream. And Joseph said, well, what is it? He said, well, you know, I walked by the mirror and I saw three white baskets on my head, one on top of the other, and in the top were all these wonderful pastries. And as I was walking along with those baskets on my head, the birds began to swoop down and begin to take bites out of the pastries and to carry them away. And so the baker finished telling his dream, and he sat down. He waited for that good news interpretation. Boy, was he disappointed. Joseph, again, quickly heard from God. He quickly received the interpretation. And he said, Mr. Baker, here is the interpretation. Those three baskets are 3 days. And I can see the baker saying, well, it's just like the butler. So good. This is good so far. Good news so far. But he went on to say, he said, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to bring you up out of prison. And the baker goes, yes, that's great. I'm coming out of prison. And then Joseph went on and said, and he's going to hang you on a tree. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't sounding so good. And Joseph, those birds. Now, this is hopefully after supper, but Joseph said, those birds are going to come and eat your flesh off your bones while you hang there. 3 days later was Pharaoh's birthday, and he threw this big bash for all his officials and servants. And during the party, he's feeling cheerful and magnanimous. And so he summons an official, and he gives the official a command to go to the prison and to bring out the butler and the baker. Bring them to the party, he says. They're escorted into Pharaoh's court, and he pointed to the butler, and he says, go get my cup. Hey, guys, give him back his robe, his ring, his position of authority. Give him my cup. You're going to be my butler again. But he points to the baker and said, fellows, take him to the gallows and hang him. It all happened exactly as Joseph said it would happen. God never misses it. He always knows. And then a note was made, thrilled to be back in his position, thrilled to be back in life. The butler quickly forgot prison, and he forgot about Joseph. Joseph is forgotten. Joseph kept waiting. He kept expecting any minute for the warden to come in and said, we've heard from Pharaoh through the butler, and the Pharaoh has sent word to set you free. Day after day, Joseph waited. No word came. He's forgotten. And here's the truth. We will be forgotten by the very folks we have helped, invested in, and ministered to. The person that Joseph helped, the butler, soon forgot him. How many knows life is often like that? The folks that you help, they forget. Amen. They betray. They injure. It ameliorates the pain for some to know what a human thing that is. We get too involved in our own lives and soon forget the folks that have helped us through our hard times. One more truth, and we'll have a quick take home. We must realize that although people forget us, God never will. You see, the quick assumption of Joseph was, the butler forgot me, therefore God must have forgotten me. We make that, but all along, God has been at work in the prison, and we're soon going to see how this all comes together. So here's a take home. First of all, I'm going to talk to those that are in a bad place, the forgotten place. And I'm going to say, well, just this quickly before we look at this. If you look at Joseph, he has a lot of these forgotten places, these bad places. But all along, Brother John, God is using the bad places to move Joseph to the good place. So here's a take home. First of all, realize that there's always enough wrong to make you feel forgotten by God. What am I trying to say? If you will take account of the wrong in your life, if you want to, you can build a case that God has forgotten you. There'll always be enough wrong things happening in your life. If you want to build a case to say God's forgotten you, you can build that case. Why? It's far easier to see God in the good than it is the bad. But we must believe that God is at work as much in the bad in our lives as he is in the good of our lives. How many remembers the scriptures? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purposes. Second take home tonight. Resolve to make the most of and do your best in the feel forgotten place. Just do your best. That's what Joseph did. This scripture bears thinking of when we're going through hard times. Peter says, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. We can understand if you've done wrong, made wrong choices, we understand the consequences of suffering. When we do right, we don't understand. But Peter said, if there's ever a time to keep a good attitude, it's when you've done right and you suffer for it. And then there's this take home. Reach out and minister to someone in need in the feel forgotten place. If anything we could get across to people, when your world is crumbled, when you feel forgotten by man and God and things are miserable in your life, if you would look around in that life of yours and find someone to minister to, you're going to find like Joseph. Not only is it going to help you right then, it'll help you in the overall plan of God to move you where he wants you. And last of all tonight, recognize that God is at work in the feel forgotten place. How many's already seeing how God's at work in Joseph's feel forgotten place? I keep putting the word feel forgotten because he wasn't forgotten. He felt forgotten, but he wasn't forgotten. Let me tell you the time I felt forgotten. I was in high school, and I had a dentist appointment after school, so that's about 3:30 or 4. Went and sat in the waiting room. Pretty soon they called my name, took me to one of the rooms, put me back in the chair, you know, put the little napkin on you, laid me back. The dentist will be with you in a few minutes. I waited. I heard the dentist out there going to other rooms. I heard the dental techs, you know, and the people working the desk. You can hear that, and I heard patients talking. And pretty soon I heard less and less noise and didn't hear any patients. And then I heard there was a back door to that place, and I heard the dentist leave. Talking, see you guys tomorrow, you know, and different techs begin to leave, and it's getting quieter and quieter. And all of a sudden, I heard the last one, right before I heard her go out the door, start out the door, she turned the lights out. And I'm sitting in the dentist office. That's not the best place, with the lights out. And I hollered, "Hey, wait a minute." She came rushing back in there, turning on lights, and said, "We forgot you." No kidding. What a place. How many's felt like that? Voices are growing quieter. Other folks are leaving to better places. Lights are going out, and you're just forgotten. I want you to know tonight, God does not accidentally leave you like the dentist did myself. He's still there when you can't see him, can't hear him. He's at work. He'll never leave you in a position like that. So here's my conclusion tonight. God is with you when you feel forgotten. God is at work when you feel nothing is happening. And God has a plan when you feel you have no tomorrow. Amen. He's at work. Would you stand? Father, thank you for your word. Once again, encourage your people and help us to realize, Lord, you truly are at work. You forget no one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you like to come and pray tonight? Amen. Take the word to heart, and may the Lord apply it in our lives. In our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Think about these things. God loves us as he loved Joseph. He's got a plan for our lives as he had one for Joseph.
Touch you.